A lot of Trump filth, a little lies, and one man rises above it all.
Hello, welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for August 19th, 2016. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me. Thank you, Janine. Thank you all for... You can turn the music off now. because then we'd have to pay somebody's money, and we don't want to have to do that.
No.
Actually, that is, for those of you who listen to the podcast, that is actually Rob Rogers, who is the award-winning editorial cartoonist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That's one of his songs, his intro.
It's a good song.
And the
He's a
outro.
Good songwriter.
He really is. He's a good singer and a good guitarist, snappy dresser, and a heck
and
of a dancer.
That. But now let's move on to
yeah, I guess
Prickly
we should.
City.
Let's move on to... We're going to get this done, aren't we?
Yes.
Someone's in a hurry. Why
Someone
are you in a hurry?
Someone has things to do. No.
What do you have to do?
Well, I've been gone for a while, so I have to pay bills and do different things like that. So.
Oh, I keep telling you, don't be afraid to call their little bluff, honey. Don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Anyway, this week in Prickly City, we had Trump spewed a lot of filth, and someone in Honey Bunny asking, how does he get away with it? And I still don't know how. The guy can pretty much say anything, and his numbers seem to go up, except recently, and they're going down, down, down.
Well, I think Greg Hart explains it by our biggest worry is the size of the idiot lobby, which is behind Trump all the way. So that's
you know
what you're talking about.
It's convenient and satisfying to think that that's true, but we have a good friend who's an attorney with a major corporation, and he's been telling us for months that there are people that he knows and respects who are for Trump. I don't get it.
Well, I think a lot of it is party line. Basically, it's say if they don't like Clinton, they're prefer a different Republican, but that's the Republican they have. So that's what they're going with.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think, too, is that they are angry. They think things, you know, the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. And there's a guy who's expressing it the way they feel it. So there they go. So it goes on to talk about Honey Bunny, who, of course, is a non de plume for Hillary. And she's wondering what she can do. Why do people view her as untrustworthy? And Winslow suggests that perhaps she should start telling the truth. And she thinks, you know, she wants not going to be that extreme. I just like the line, the closing of that little loop, which is a line I've used before. But he says, maybe you could just be yourself. And she, you know, does something Honey Bunny-ish. He goes, maybe a little less you, ma'am, which I always like that line. And the last one, the Saturday, is the one man who rises above it all is, of course, our guy, Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate for president who continues to rise in the poll. And it looks like he's actually going to get into the debates.
You think so?
I do. The Presidential Debate Commission is seriously discussing how to add a third podium to the stage. There's a lot of the Chicago Tribune, along with the Orange County Register and other newspapers, have editorialized saying that he should be included now. And I would say Jill Stein, too, the Green Party candidate, but definitely Gary Johnson. And then that means Bill Weld would be in the vice presidential debate. I mean, I think all the voices, the more voices, the better.
But not everyone agrees with you.
No.
The NPP said, I only watched this strip to wait until Carmen's eyes get opened. I listened to an interview with her guy and he was jaw-dropping stupid. Even the pro-libertarian interviewer seemed confused when he blew the softball questions. Conservatives are supposed to think with logic. Stantis is thinking with his emotions. Trump's last few speeches and actions, going to Wisconsin and L.A., have been the stuff of true presidential timber. As soon as Stantis stops being so emotional, maybe he'll see this as well.
Well, it's easy to dismiss someone as being emotional. I like to think I'm being smarter than... But, you know, hey, who was that? GBB or?
NPP.
NPP.
The NPP.
The NPP. Oh, not just any NPP,
no.
But the NPP. I would say that there's something to be said for that. There is an emotional aspect to politics. There always is. I like the guy. I could have a beer with him, you know, and I'm going to vote for him.
Was Trump real presidential in Wisconsin? And I'm not sure which LA. I'm assuming Los Angeles.
Or
not
is that Louisiana?
Louisiana. It's a little hard to tell.
Well, when did he write that? Because he got to Louisiana today.
Then maybe today. Maybe because I think it was on today's cartoon.
Today is Friday. So
yes, I
have not watched that, but the Wisconsin speech was where he said that maybe I said some bad things, perhaps that, you know, I'm not really sorry, but, huge. We've seen Trump kind of try to be presidential, and it's sort of like watching, a 12-year-old try to control themselves. They can do it for 3 or 4 seconds, and then it all comes unraveled. I have seen some bad interviews with Gary Johnson. I think there are times when he does look goofy and not particularly presidential, but there are times when... But
not any worse than Trump has.
Oh, my gosh, no. I mean, Trump, if you watch, there was an interview, I can't remember which talking head show it was, and he had some monitors on behind him, and he couldn't stop watching himself on the other channels. Oh, look, there I am. There I am. Oh, I'm that's big. I'm huge. But by comparison, I really do think Gary Johnson has some terrific ideas. I do think they think closer along the lines of what a majority of people, certainly I think. There are some issues I disagree with him on. I mean, clearly.
Well, here Age Walker said, I'm not too fond of some libertarian goals, particularly eliminating welfare, but I'd rather have almost anyone than Clinton or Trump. Besides, with the other two parties controlling the Senate and the House, not a lot of extreme stuff would get passed.
I think that's true. And Johnson showed that he can work with, I mean, he had an overwhelmingly Democratic legislature when he was the governor of New Mexico. So, you know, he knows how to get things done. He did have an advantage that he won't have as president. He had a line item veto, which I think is interesting. I wish the president had one, if you remember, and I'm sure you all do. Bill Clinton had line item veto. He used it twice, and then the Supreme Court shot it down.
Why?
It was shot down because it thought it was executive encroaching onto legislative powers.
But they add so much junk into it that has nothing to do with the original proposal.
Oh, I agree. And then it's up to you to veto the entire bill. Yeah, I think line item would be a lifesaver. But the Supreme Court, looking at the U.S. Constitution, the construct of the three branches of government, this was a usurpation of legislative authority and handed it to the presidency, and they thought that was wrong.
Hmm.
But I wish they could bring it back in some constitutionally agreeable manner. First of all, it was legislation passed by the Congress. So you would think, you know, that it's cool with the Congress. It should be cool with the Supreme Court.
You would think.
But it wasn't. So that's it. Any other comments we need to consider?
Actually, Dan has written and has like a suggestion for you.
Sure.
He says that maybe your public presence would get out an idea of moving beyond such a stupid voting system that makes any attempt of more than two choices involve some consideration of taking away votes from. That's in quotes. Why should we vote for one person rather than rank however many are reasonable candidates for the office? 17 primary candidates? Well, then the rankings might run 1 to 17. In essence, giving any pairing of candidates a voter will have voiced her choice, and that is way better than it's done now.
Well, there's a lot of different ideas. Dan, thank you for writing. There's a lot of different ideas being floated out there. I have a friend who I really respect who's talking about proportional voting, and that is very similar to some parliamentary systems. Let's say the Greens get 10% of the vote. They get 10% representation in the parliament, things like that. I think we have to start considering things like this because the system is clearly broken.
Yeah, I don't think people feel that they can fit in either of the two parties that well, and it would be nice to have some other options.
Right. And I mean, how many moderate Republicans, how many moderate Democrats are there? And, you know, you may cringe if you're not moderate, but I think that those are as important voices as conservative and libertarian voices in the Republican side or liberal or socialist voices on the left. So, yeah, I mean, Dan, thanks. And we have to start thinking along those lines. I mean, obviously, it's a Herculean change. It's a constitutional change, but I think it's one that we certainly need to consider very, very seriously. So thank you so much. And listen, thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. If you want to keep up with us or, you know, just check in to see what Carmen and Winslow are up to, go to gocomics.com/prickly city, or you can go to scottstantis.com. And if you want to write us a letter and just say something, you know, to us, send it to prickly city@gmail.com. Until then, we'll see you in the funny papers.